Let's gavel. Welcome back, gavelers. Thank you guys for sticking it out with us. We made it this far. Let's keep it going. Today, we are talking all about what it's like to be women in law, specifically young women.
Yes, a very interesting and probably a little bit of a hefty topic.
It's a pretty hefty topic, but we want to get into it today.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into this.
Okay, being a woman in law, Hamase, do you feel a difference? Do you feel like there's being a woman in law has its own special thing about it?
Yes, but it's really hard to say what experiences are due to my being a woman in law, being a young woman in law, or just being young. You know, like sometimes it's hard to parse those things out. But yes, I think there are experiences that I could definitely attribute to my being a woman in law.
I agree. It's hard because, you know, identities are multifaceted.
Yeah.
So there is a lot. Like, is it because, you know, we're young women? Is it because we're minority women? Is it because we are, you know, just women in general in the profession? I think that honestly, my experience, there are some things that I'll speak on, I think, that maybe that I feel were caused or were said to me because I am a young woman in law. Mm-hmm. But in general, I mean, I honestly just feel like I've always been in spaces where, you know, I was maybe a minority, whether it be because of my race or because of my gender or for whatever reason. So I just feel like I'm doing it, like I'm here in law. So this is like where I am. I don't feel a particular heir to there being to me being, you know, a young woman in law necessarily, but that's what
I'm saying. No, I'm totally on the same page. Having a STEM background and growing up in like STEM subjects, and STEM is also a notoriously male dominated area. Even in that field, I never felt I was at a disadvantage or I was being treated differently. Mm-hmm. So I think when I came into law school, I didn't really expect to feel any different being a woman, but the experience I had with that professor that I talked about in episode 2, that was really my first moment of experiencing a difference in how I was treated. I really don't think that professor would have done what he did to a male student. And there were male students in that class that would disrupt the class, but he never called them out. So when it happened to me, I was like, I feel like this is because I'm a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, in practice, there have been a few cases of feeling treated differently because I am a young woman.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, are the differences coming from like women who are maybe trying to compete with you to some extent, or is it just they're trying to be better than you, or do you feel like it's just they're trying to outshine you, or like, what do you feel like, or is it women treating you this way, or rather, I guess to back up, is it women treating you this way, or is it men, or is it both?
Unfortunately, in my experience and practice, it's usually women who treat me differently or poorly. Just to give an example, I've had certain clients, all of these people I'm thinking of are women, who I will tell them this is what we think we should do on the case. And everything I'm telling them is coming directly from the boss. But because it's me saying it to them, they will push back. They'll fight with me. They'll yell at me. Inevitably, I'll have to tell my boss, like, I think you need to tell them because they're not listening to me. He will say the exact same things that I just said, but because it's coming from him, they're like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds good. Send me a bill.
Right. Yeah. Do they come back to you and say, oh, I apologize for how I treated you, or?
No, never, never. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's this one lady who is a lawyer, and she, from the get-go, she just doesn't like me. I don't know why, but I basically, there was a discovery going on in this case. I had found out that there was a lot of records that weren't produced but that existed but that I didn't know about before. So I, in an effort to be really transparent, called her up and I said, I think these exist. I'm looking into it. I just found out about it. I'm just calling you to let you know. And for some reason, from then on, she just rolled with being like as nasty as she could be and tried to make me look as terrible as possible by painting it as if I had been sitting on documents, withholding them in an effort to frustrate the case and just be kind of shady about the case, which was not what happened.
Yeah.
So there started a months long battle about these documents. No matter how much I explained, she refused to listen. And that caused a problem because then she went to the judge and she told the judge that exact same thing. Unfortunately for me, the judge kind of had the same attitude towards me. He was also very prejudiced towards me. I really think he was, because this was a one-of-one experience with a judge where he immediately did not like me and just started yelling at me from the get-go. So I knew that this was something about him towards me. And so they basically tag-teamed me, and it just made the problem worse and worse and worse. So I asked my boss to sit in with me at the next hearing. And so every time this lady attorney tried to paint the picture, the very inaccurate picture that she was painting of us, my boss like basically barked back. And then a few days later, I had to go on vacation. So he started taking over the communications with her. And I promise you, it didn't take more than a few emails for her to be like, okay, yes, sir, you say you're working on it. Great. I'll drop the motion to compel. We got it. We trust you. Like, it's okay. And I'm just thinking,
what?
But I was telling you the same thing for weeks and weeks, months. I just kept thinking to myself two things. How would you have felt as a young attorney dealing with you? And also, you're older, you've been in this game longer, and you know that I'm being genuine and I'm being real with you. And yet you're trying to still like go out of your way to paint a picture that's so nasty about me.
Yeah.
And it made me really, it's still to this day, like, it makes me so sad. It's hard to talk about because on the other side of things, I do deal with lawyers who are females who are so like positive and supportive, even though we're on the opposite side of the aisle, they will work with me to get things done. And you know, that's my favorite thing. Like, let's work together to get things done. So when I see that that could be the case, it makes me really sad when there's female attorneys that choose to be such a downer presence towards me, another female. There's allies and there's bullies, and people make themselves really known.
Yeah, it can be disheartening, you know, as a young attorney, like trying to deal with that. And as especially just being talked down to, or someone who's going out of their way to make you look bad. Like, you know, I'm another woman too. Like I am you just a couple years prior.
Yeah.
Why are you making my life harder? Like, and then to see not only that, like not only to see how she was treating you, but then to see how quickly she shifted her demeanor and her approach, and now she's withdrawing motions, and now she's, you know, not going forward on the sanctions. It's just kind of like, why did it take 1 second for you to decide to change? Like, you had the power to change that, to decide that this whole time. You just chose not to. You chose to go forward with nastiness in a way.
Right. And just because he's a man and he's older, like, I promise you, I wasn't saying anything different than what he said. Right. Yeah. It's not like the message was different. That's happened a number of times. And I know it happens with the other females in our office. There's a lot of times where we have to be like to the boss, you need to tell this person what we collectively have decided for the case, because they won't listen to us. And the second he says it, it's like a message from, you know, a message that they want to listen to.
Yeah. And I don't like that. And I don't like being on the receiving side of that. I think for me, I think generally law is traditionally competitive, right? Kind of like you said, like it creates this, and being on opposite sides creates this idea that we are not going to be allies, that we're going to be enemies in that way.
Right.
But I think what a lot of people don't know, and I think a lot of people join this career to argue and to be enemies and to be adversarial, but I think a lot of people don't know that there is a lot of opportunity, almost more than you can imagine, to be allies and to choose to mentor or to choose to walk through a case, you know,
with amicably
with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, with grace. And it's really disheartening. I think that for me, where I received the most bullying was in my own workplace. Women mostly bullied me more than men did, which is unfortunate. We must be better than that. Yeah.
Right.
Why are we doing this? One particular situation was where we were in a mediation, and my boss sent, midway through the mediation, my boss then sends in a paralegal, and she is like, hey, I'm entering the mediation. Now, just to put this into context, this is not to like puff my title over anybody else's title, but
no,
this is a court proceeding in which lawyers are the only ones that can advocate on behalf of the client in this space.
Yes. Not normal to have a paralegal in a mediation.
It's not. So not only did she come in on the mediation, but then she was speaking and speaking over me at that.
Oh my God.
And speaking to the client at that. And telling the client, directing the client to make certain decisions on things. And I had to almost like, it was like we were competing. I was having to kind of assert myself over her. She was telling the judge, we're going to move down this amount. We're going to move down from 100 to 60. We're going to move down this and that. And I was just like, hey, we cannot. I was like, hey, mediator, we're not moving down.
Right.
Period. Because we have not discussed this with the client, and the client hasn't even thought about this number. We need to get back to the client on this. We can't just move down. I called her on the side, that paralegal, and I said, hey, like, I'm not in the business of forcing clients to do something that they don't want to do. And yelling to the client certain things is not the way this is going to go. It was kind of crazy. And it just kind of created a very, 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 very contentious environment. Even the client was feeling like our disconnect. I think the paralegal had told me at one point, I'm okay with forcing people to do things that they don't want to do. I'm okay with doing that.
It's not your job. It's not your job.
It's not your job. And actually, you're not supposed to be speaking at all. It's actually illegal that you're even giving somebody legal advice without a license. She also said something like, I think they're just taking advantage of you. I think that if, you know, the boss were here, that she would listen. And I think that da 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 da. And I felt
you?
Like she was about me. And to me, she was saying that. Kind of like almost like my way is not getting the result that they now want. So like he should be here instead. Or because you're young and because you're a woman, that they're taking advantage of you.
Where is he? Where is he?
Let him
bring
come
him
on.
In. Let him come.
Literally. I
he
don't
sent
have
me
to be here.
Here.
He sent me here. So if he didn't want me to do this, then I didn't have to do this. It's not my firm. I felt so undermined, like double teamed and undermined.
Yes.
It was just kind of like it was weird to be undermined by people that you're working with. You're supposed to be on the same team with them, but they're almost like bullying you or undermining you in a way. And especially women at that. And I don't really understand that. And that's happened to me at different jobs in different ways where people that I work with are questioning my ability. The women that I work with are questioning me or undermining me or, you know, in front of the clients. And I'm kind of like, oh, what's happening here? And I don't like to throw my weight in my title, but I'm also just like, it's human decency and respect that you don't, you know, speak out of turn or do certain things like that.
If she was successful in pressuring the client into taking a settlement that she didn't feel comfortable taking, how would that have turned back on you and exposed you to a potential malpractice claim, you know?
Very true, yeah.
Right? Like, she's not only making you feel a type of way, but she's actually putting your license at risk.
Right, you know? Like you as a, you and your own license, like not your firm.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it would have been the client to say, this attorney was here with me on that day and she told me to go, you know, accept the settlement that I didn't want to accept or whatever it was. And so, exactly, I feel like if you trust me, you know, if my boss doesn't trust me, then that's fine. Don't, you know, but don't put me in a position where now I have somebody depending on me and my expertise and then undermine it, you know, because I feel like that is just, and I think that as women, we shouldn't be in the business of trying to undermine or make other women look bad, you know, where it's just where you're going out of your way to do so. You know,
yeah.
I think that that's just unprofessional. It just speaks volumes to you as a person in general.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember every single interaction I've had with every single person who has undermined me just because I am who I am and not because mm-hmm. of what I'm saying or anything like that. Like,
right.
I remember my first mediation ever.
Mm-hmm.
This mediator, he came into our room, and the client's also a female. He came into our room and he started asking about the facts and stuff. And I was the one kind of clarifying and talking. And as I was talking, his voice started getting louder and louder until he started yelling. And it was like an hour into the mediation. Dude, he did not stop yelling from that hour till the end of the mediation, 8 hours later. He was just yelling in
our mediator or the
mediator. The mediator was yelling at me and my client, how could you think this case has any merits? How could you come here and tell me this, this, and that? Obviously, we didn't settle the case. What's worse is he called me on my line afterwards and continued to yell at me. He basically yelled at me for, have you even met this client before? And I was like, no, I've never met her in person, but I've talked to her several times. We've met on Zoom. How could you even represent somebody who you've never met before? I have never in my blah, blah, blah years of practice ever taken a client that I've never met in person. And I'm like, well, you know, 2025, like,
do it all the time.
Do it all the time.
Yeah.
So later I was talking to my therapist about it. And apparently there is this style of communication. There are three styles of communication. Adult to adult, child to child, or parent to child, adult to child. And mm-hmm. what I was experiencing with the yelling is this dynamic of an adult to a child level of communication where the quote unquote adult is kind of yelling or talking down to you because they see you as a child in the communications and in the dynamic. And mm-hmm. so that just feels so annoying that I have to deal with that. It's a male attorney who's older. They just feel like they can talk down to me like a child. Like, I hate that. That it makes me mad.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of crazy because I feel like I look young. People always tell me that I look young. But I think that when I'm in court, for whatever reason, I have like this face. It's just almost like, well, when I was younger, people used to tell me that I low-key had like an RBF face.
Okay.
I don't feel like I do. Do you feel like I do?
I don't think so, but interesting.
I don't feel like I do. People have said that to me like, oh, you look intimidating when you're not like speaking or smiling or anything.
Interesting.
I'm like, really? Even in law school, people told me I was in this class and I think at the end, I was like, oh, like, well, you know, goodbye. And I hugged this one girl and she said, oh my gosh, you were so cold all semester. You were so icy. I wouldn't even expect you want to give me a hug. I was like, oh, really?
Really?
Yes. I don't know if I come off that way, but, and I don't mean to.
I mean, like, I mean, to me, you are like the warmest, sweetest sunshine. I can't even imagine.
I mean, I'm like, she was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was like, oh, goodbye. She's like, oh my gosh. You want to hug
me? But you know what? You know what, Bailey? In law school, a lot of people told me, oh, I thought you'd be a bitch, but you're
right,
actually
same.
Really nice. And I'm like, right. Okay, I've never gotten that before.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so I think even – it's so funny because even when I was in my very first, like, family law trial, I was going up against an attorney with a 1 in front of his license. So he's, like, older. And he said – you've probably seen this in your practice, but basically I think that da-da-da-da-da, you know how, you know, we do the math and the numbers, you know how that usually goes in practice. And I said, having never, ever, ever been before this judge, never been in another family law trial. So I don't know, I think, and that's how a lot of attorneys approach me too. They're kind of like, you've been here, so you must know. And I'm like,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I need to do what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm kind of just, they assume I have all this experience, which I am.
That's amazing.
I'm very caught off guard by that. Yeah. So, and then for judges, I think I think I've been yelled at more women judges again.
Really?
The women
judges yelling at you?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Not men. Men judges are actually really nice to me. They're very, I've never had a male judge yell at me actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never had a female judge yell at me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have had two female judges yell at me, both that were located in the courthouse. So don't go there. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, overall, I think that it's disheartening when women treat in the, you know, in this whatever parent-child type communication system, or just, you know, even though we're equals, like on the opposite sides representing our clients, like when you're treating somebody, yelling at somebody or treating somebody nasty, I think it just takes more energy out of you than anything, you know?
Right.
And
And
it's
it
just not the way to
reflects on
be.
the person who's being nasty. Like,
Exactly,
I think
yeah.
so much less of, like, I'll never choose that mediator again. I
No.
will avoid that judge. I'd
Exactly.
just rather not work with you if I can help it.
Yeah, I think that's why too. I think that it's meant so much when we do get that support from women, especially from women or from men in our careers. I think as a young woman in law, I think it's super it's what's whatever the opposite of disheartening. It's encouraging.
It's so refreshing too. So in the same case where the mediator was nasty, the opposing counsel was a male attorney, and as of recently, a female attorney in his firm has kind of taken over that case. So I actually just spoke to her for the first time this last Friday, and she was so freaking pleasant. I got so excited to work on the case with her. And guess what? Now we're talking about settlement. I think we're gonna resolve it early.
Oh my
It so
gosh.
much gets done when you're pleasant.
Yes, it makes a world of a difference. And like what is it? What does it cost you
I
know, to
know.
like just extend a hand and work things out. You know, it just means so much. I love when that happens, and it's really nothing like being with an attorney and you're just kind of working together, you know?
Yeah, and there's nothing like getting on the phone with a female attorney and just bonding on like a deeper level, just being female to female, building that connection led us later on the call to talk about early resolution for the case. I love that.
Oh,
I love that.
that's so special. I think I remember this one time I have had a lot of like those interactions, like while in court, kind of waiting on our case to be called with other female attorneys. We're just kind of sitting there and we're just like, hi, hi. And I remember one time I met this one attorney who kind of like, she was just, I don't even know why she spoke to me. We were just kind of sitting there, you know? And she started speaking to me about wanting to, she was like, are you working for yourself? And do you want to own your own law firm one day? And you should. And I'm a solo practitioner. And here's my number. And step out on faith. And you can do it. I know it's risky. And she was just still to this day, like, she's super encouraging. And I'm so grateful for her. And you just feel like that warm feeling in your soul. It's just kind of like, oh, friendship does exist as an adult, you know?
I love that. I think female on female bad blood in the workplace is actually more prevalent than, we like you would think. But so given everything we've talked about, how do you deal with those situations afterwards? Walking away from it, what do you tell yourself to, recover from those situations?
I need to ponder this.
Ponder it.
That's hard. Yeah, I think I kind of just tell myself like that was like a one of one situation. I try not to liken that experience or let those experiences kind of shape how I feel about the whole career or every woman on the other side or every female judge or every situation. I kind of just let each situation speak for itself. I do try not to, like you said, deal with those people again if I don't have to. So I try to avoid them, but sometimes you can't. So I don't know. In those cases, I guess I continue to be the way I am. Sometimes if the woman on the other side, for example, is yelling or being assertive and nasty, I don't get nasty and assertive. I don't get nasty. I may get more assertive, or I may get more like firm in the way that I speak, or in the way that I, walk into court, or the way that I sit, just so that they know, like, this is, you may have,
shocked me the first time. You may have
won that battle.
Right, exactly. But you're not winning the war. Exactly. Because now I know how you like to act. So now I will adjust accordingly.
Exactly.
What about you?
I definitely lean hard on my support because I feel like when those things happen to me, I get so hurt. So I lean on my support, my husband, like my mom. They're the first two I'm always calling. But once I get past the emotional shock of it, what I do is I lean on like my allies in law. So people in my firm that I feel like I can go to them and say, this is what happened. Is there anything I could have done to make the situation better? And just by having those conversations, I can kind of suss out what, like I said, what I could have done versus what objectively was like just out of my hands. Most of all these things that I'm thinking about, they're usually just out of my hands. They're with the other person. So it does help kind of leave it where it was and not take it home with me at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think that's important not to like figure out a way not to carry that with you.
Yeah.
You know, because as women in general and as people in general, I feel like there's always those situations that define us, you know, and I think these situations and at least our first couple years of law, obviously we remember them, right? Like we haven't forgotten exactly how they, you know, yelled at us, or we can like almost like hear the way they talked to us and our voices saw what they did.
Yes.
And it sticks with us. And I think it can become, you know, an empowering moment in a way to now newly navigate the situation, or you know, if you ever come across anybody like that again, you definitely are better prepared, better equipped to deal with that. And so
I completely agree. The takeaway is that these things will happen, and unfortunately expect them to happen possibly, but know that they don't happen all the time and it's very rare, and it's a more of a reflection of that person than on you. So just keep your head up, girlies, and keep going because you're crushing it. And on that topic of the girlies crushing it, let's talk about something more fun. Let's talk about how we are showing up as female attorneys. How are we showing up in the way that we speak, in the things that we wear? Like, let's give the girls a little picture.
A little picture.
Yeah.
I think it's all about, you know, I've seen all kind of, when you do go to court and you do interact with people in this career, you'll see all different types of female attorneys.
Yes.
Everyone, attorneys, they're in their own way, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's for me, I try to be as professional as I can be in the way that I speak, in the way that I dress, in the way that I carry myself. I don't try to be somebody, I don't try to look like I have more experience than I am or paint myself to be older. I'm still like young and youthful, and I think in the way that I am, but I try to be very come off like I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm here in this context, you know, and you can trust me. And the way I speak to my clients is that same way. It's firm and assertive. Like I know what I'm talking about, but also like you can also ask me questions. So I'm always like stopping and, you know, asking, does that make sense? Are you clear on that? Are we good on that? Are you good? And so I kind of present myself kind of like a friend of the court. You know how they say that in like criminal court? So that's kind of how I like to be. And so that's kind of how I like to present myself. What about
you? Same. I think I embody the same thing. I always come super prepared because that's always going to make me feel better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always wear heels because it makes me feel more like, I don't know, serious, older. Like it I play does. The role a little bit better.
You hear your own shoes on the floor, you know?
There's no and better feeling.
It's like, I'm coming down the hall. So everybody.
Heels everybody always.
Get prepared.
Mm-hmm. I always walk with my head up, shoulders back. I don't look at my phone unless I'm actually looking on my phone to like text a client, be like, where are you? And then I make sure I have a really good handshake when I meet people, because sometimes you will be meeting people for the first time in court. And so you want to make sure, or I always make sure I have a really good handshake and I actually shake their hand. And I say, hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm Hamase. Shake their hand. And that always gets people feeling good. When the judge is speaking to me, I speak slowly and clearly and I wait for the judge to finish. Some attorneys, including some that I know, they'll talk over the judge because they just can. They just have the years on them to do that. I really try to be very poised and controlled in the courtroom because mm-hmm. I just feel like that's like, I don't know, I guess that's the vibe I want to bring, is like put together, poised, professional.
I don't know if I always shake everybody's hand. I don't know if mm-hmm. I do. I think I, because I'm thinking about when I was in court on Thursday, I don't think I did. I think I said, hey, you know, for, let me not say that, what's his name? Let me just find a name. Josh. Yeah. Josh? Yeah. He said, yeah. I said, all right, hey, nice to meet you.
Okay.
I'm Bailey. Yeah. And I said, let's walk down here so we can talk. When I first get to the courtroom, I always check the calendar. Mm-hmm. And I will even sometimes like look for my client, say hi, 1 second, and then I'll look at the calendar. And I feel like that just kind of like frames my day for me, or if in the court setting, it just kind of helps me to feel a little bit calm.
Yeah.
And I can then go confidently to the client and say, okay, like we're number seven, but
yeah,
the judge will call us in whatever order.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I do things at least. But yes, I definitely agree with you as far as being in the courtroom. I tend to speak fast in general, so I do have to make it a point to slow down. I do. I definitely try to start every time I'm speaking in court, Your Honor, may I speak or may I be heard?
Mm.
And say yes and say, okay, thank you, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then whatever. So I kind of just always frame it like, may I be heard? And I think that always kind of helps me too, to like frame what I'm about to say, yeah, so that the judge doesn't feel like I'm, you know, just saying things. Yeah.
When I'm asked a question in court, I always start with a yes or no. Yes, no. I'm answering first, and then I'll explain why. And I think that judges really like that. Mm-hmm. I find when I do that, judges ask me more. Like, they want to know more. You know, want to interact with me. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. They don't like when you start to go on and on and on.
No. Like, I didn't ask you da-da-da-da-da. Like, they don't know why you're explaining what you're explaining.
Right.
I've heard this theory that women are not supposed to wear pants to court. Do you wear pants to court?
What?
Yeah.
I actually wear pants mostly. I did actually wear a skirt last week, but it was I feel weird about skirts. I honestly don't know, because I'm tall, and I don't know, I feel like you wear more skirts than I do. Mm. I don't know what the appropriate length of the skirt is. I'm not really that tall. My legs are, you know, the longest part of my body. My torso is not that long. Yeah. So I always get nervous about a skirt in court, because above my knee feels like, is that too short? Like, is most mm-hmm. of my leg out? Or, mm-hmm. you know, or when I do wear a skirt, it's the one, it literally goes, the longer pencil skirt that goes like right above my ankle. I don't know. So I just prefer pants. It's just easier. I don't have to worry about the length of my legs. But
I wear pants too. I also wear skirts. I have shorter legs than you for sure, but they are thicker than your legs. So I still have to think about the length, because I don't want my whole ass thigh just popping out, right?
Right, right.
So I always go, I don't know, like 3 inches above the knee. And I will say this, Bailey.
Okay, see.
There is this attorney in the court that I go to all the time, and mm-hmm. she wears a mini skirt with a red bra that you can see.
Oh my gosh.
To court with heels that are like clubbing heels. Like, I don't know. She's been there. She's been there, okay? She dresses to court like she's about to meet someone.
Someone's going to meet me here. Oh my gosh. It's a mini skirt?
It's a mini skirt with pumps. Please, you guys, don't be that girl. Let's keep it profesh. Gosh. Yeah, no.
Because.
No. Mm-mm, not cute.
Oh my gosh. Because there should be some. Like, I understand this is a traditional profession.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't like to wear. And a lot of lawyers, like, on a day-to-day, don't dress up, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a particular decorum. There is a particular decorum that should be had in the court setting, because you are representing someone else. So it shouldn't be about you trying to catch a man.
Exactly.
In this particular moment,
you don't want to distract people with what you're wearing. Now, with that mm-hmm. said, I wear a lot of color in court. And
is crazy.
Yeah. By a lot, I mean, I wear different colored blazers, because I just love an outfit with like a pop of color. So I do think you can wear color in court. Just don't overdo it and make it cute.
Yeah. Do you wear like what kind of colors do you have?
All of them. I have green, blue, purple, red, pink. Everything else about the outfit is going to be toned down. That's how we balance the color, right?
I see.
We're not trying to be like a runway show. We're just kind of expressing ourselves tastefully.
I could be better at that. Yeah, because I definitely stick to the three main colors.
Which are?
Black.
Okay.
Black, dark blue, and gray.
Okay.
And I just feel like mostly I wear black. And I think I wear black mostly like even on a regular day-to-day basis, like at work. Mm-hmm. I just feel the most professional in black. I can be like blacked down. Like the other day I had the black skirt, black shirt, and black blazer, and black shoes on.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a moment. Do you wear jewelry with all that?
Yeah, like a little, like earrings. And then like sometimes I'll do like pearl earrings. So it's very like, I feel like I look like a little, like a flight attendant from back in the day.
Yeah.
Old school flight attendant, like classy like that. That's how I like yes. to kind of be.
The jewelry has to be very tasteful and conservative. Not too mm-hmm. much. Not dangly earrings. Like we're talking tastefully close
right,
to the
like
ear.
Right, like a stud. Yeah. Right, close to the ear.
Yeah,
not
close
hanging
to the
down.
Ear. If we're wearing a necklace and earrings, the necklace is very subtle too. Maybe yeah. a watch, like if we're feeling it that day. But I don't overdo it. And you know how much I love jewelry, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You have to keep it.
Gotta keep it classy.
Yeah, you're keeping it classy. Keeping mm-hmm. it kind of
put
close
together.
To the vest. Yeah.
You still, like, okay, the word is conservative, really. Even if you're wearing color in court, you need to balance it out so that the whole picture looks somewhat conservative. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Now, that might be really actually controversial because there are some lawyers showing up in court with like purple hair and purple shoes. And, you know, they feel like, and I guess do you, but, you know.
I've had right. I guess do you. I've had, right. If you want to do you. But. I guess, the other day I was in court and I've seen lawyers at the bench or at the, you know, stand with full on winter coats, like puffer jackets on.
No.
I've seen, yes, zipped up. Like, is there a suit jacket under there? I don't know. But it didn't matter because they just straight up had the puffer jacket on. I've seen, the other day I saw a girl with a blazer with like a shawl on top of the blazer.
Okay.
That kind of just like came over, but in a way that was like, it looked almost like a blanket, like she was cold, but just kind of on the shoulders, but on top of the blazer, which I was kind of like, I feel like this is ruining the look here.
Right.
I mean, I've been interviewed by lawyers with blue hair.
Yeah.
I mean,
or the lawyers that come in and their hair is like just not done. Like it's
right,
still
right.
in the morning bun type of thing. Like
yes.
how could you? No, please,
or
you guys.
Wet, like you just stepped out the shower and you just rolled from the shower to the courtroom.
Just slick it back. Get it out
slick
of your face. Do not do that morning bun. It's not cute.
Where was I? I think I was in court. I was behind this girl and she was squeezing out her wet hair and like kind of trying to tie it in a bun. And it just, the water like hit my face. And I said,
oh my God.
Can you
God.
Not?
No.
Yes. She was like trying to wrap it into like a, you know, a swirly bun. And I was just feeling like, why are we doing this? Like court is not your house. Like I think people sometimes think that it's just like their home away from home.
Exactly.
While they may be there all the time.
Exactly.
Please,
they get too comfortable and they're like,
yes.
this judge has seen me in every state, but like, no, let's not do that. If you're listening to this podcast, you're not going to do the things that we talked about. You're going to be put together, tasteful. You're gonna show up looking like a little attorney.
Be better because you can find a way to express yourself within the professional world.
Yes exactly.
Oh, you guys, I hope you guys learned a lot listening to us kind of discuss our experience as women in law. Obviously our experiences do not represent every woman's experience in this profession, but we're just giving you our experience. So please feel free to share your experiences with us. We'd love to hear them and love to comment on them.
And with that, we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.